WPHM, I'm Jim Matthews in the newsroom. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Evening Information Hour. Right now we've got sunshine, 83 degrees in downtown Port Huron. We'll take a full look at the forecast for you coming up in just a few minutes. Traffic and sports on the way this hour as well. Time now for the latest from the Blue Water News Network. And those two suspected bank robbers headed for district court now for an arraignment in Port Huron. Port Huron Police Chief Donald Poore told our Bill Gilmer today that the pair were apparently from Port Huron. They were also connected with an apartment in the 900 block of Griswold.
Either both or one had a residence at that apartment. Both were from Port Huron and both were about 20 years old.
And what happens at this point? We have an arraignment at some time, but this being Friday, my guess is over the weekend?
The difficulty with a late arrest on Thursday night is trying to get the paperwork together to get to the prosecutor to eventually get to a judge on Friday. We're hoping to do that. If that doesn't happen, then the fallback time is Sunday morning. We'll have an arraignment.
The pair are suspected of robbing the flagship Federal Credit Union. Officials say that 3:30 incident yesterday saw two men entering the bank at 1814 10th Street, indicating that they had a weapon and demanded money. No weapon was seen by those at the bank, though. Police eventually caught up with the pair in an I-94 in DeGratiot traffic stop that happened several hours after that robbery yesterday. Well, the weather is hot and humid again today, and it's going to be again tomorrow. So it's time for the second and third ozone action days, as declared by the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments. SEMCOG's Ira Steinberg tells us that large amounts of ground-level ozone can be a health hazard, especially for the elderly and for the very young.
People with existing health conditions, such as asthma, heart conditions, the elderly or the very young population. So we always try to alert those individuals to take extra precautions, you know, be extra mindful.
SEMCOG says you should try to not refuel your vehicle on ozone action days, or at least wait until the evening hours when the weather's a little bit cooler. Also, you could plan to carpool or use public transit. And the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and Environment says pollutants are expected to be in the unhealthy for sensitive groups range. The weather is expected to cool off early next week. A car and a gravel hauler involved in a traffic crash yesterday afternoon, leaving six people injured. That accident happened in Marine City. We spoke with Marine City Police Detective Sergeant Brad Coles.
Roughly about 1:30, passenger car was southbound on King Road, the 6100 block, slowed down to turn into a driveway, and the truck was unable to stop in the sheer clear distance and struck the vehicle on the rear end.
Coles says that six people were in that car, two adults and four children. They were taken to a hospital for treatment of their injuries. The driver of the gravel hauler was not injured during the incident, but he was cited for failing to stop within a safe distance. Well, if you happen to jump into the waters of Lake Huron on Sunday, don't be surprised if there are thousands of other people with the same idea. That's the unofficial Port Huron float down. Definitely not happening as any sort of sanctioned event, but if you are set on going, then Port Huron Fire Chief Robert Ike says you want to stay safe.
If they're going to do this, they need to have a personal flotation device that's a quality device, a certified device by the Coast Guard. They also need to have a inner tube or a raft. Get nothing, no little duck wings that float on their neck. And I mean, they need to be out of the water. A lightweight wetsuit would be helpful.
The event unofficially starts at noon on Sunday. It'll end down around Chrysler Beach in Marysville. New festival coming to town tomorrow. It's a Shakespeare festival, as our Caleb Gordon reports.
The City of Port Huron and Interstage Wright Productions presents Will on the Water. It's a one-day Shakespeare festival taking place on the north lawn of the Municipal Office Center in downtown Port Huron. The free event starts at 10 o'clock a.m. and runs until 6 o'clock p.m. Visitors will get a taste of 16th century life, from sword fighting to dancing. The festival will feature playwright William Shakespeare's famous works, such as Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth, and The Taming of the Shrew. Admission is free to all ages. I'm Caleb Gordon, Blue Water News Network.
Thank you, Caleb. Well, it's the annual antique and yard sale trail. That's today, tomorrow, and Sunday. That trail extending all the way from Sebewing in the north to Algonac in New Baltimore in the south. Port Huron lies in the middle, of course, and some downtown stores are participating with special sidewalk events. That's according to Marcy Fogel at the local Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Again, it just adds, you know, a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic coming into your downtowns, and you'll see visitors that maybe would not have stopped, and now they'll stop, and they'll look at, you know, through the treasures from the sale, and then they'll go into the store. So it just, again, it just makes it fun. And having the entertainment, the face painting, you know, that preoccupies the children so the parents can shop a little bit more. But, you know, I think people are just out to have fun.
That trail along M25 and M29, seeing several communities taking part along the route, offering up unique and antiquing shops, as well as museums full of local history and small diners for convenience and comfort. The yard sale trail running through Sunday. Well, bluegrass music will be at the center of the first ever Bluegrass Festival on Harsin's Island on Sunday. Organizer Kate Hart says that event will serve as a benefit.
We were looking for fundraising ideas for families in need through the Lions and also for the new Historical Society. So it was my big idea, and because I had produced festivals and felt that, you know, we could probably make a success of it, we went for it, and I got to tell you, it's been amazing. I mean, like the sponsor support, the island people getting behind it, it just really has a life of its own now.
And the foot tapping and the thigh slapping, good old bluegrass music will be jangling through the air in Harsin's Island on Sunday as they pack the playground. It'll be at the former schoolhouse from noon until 9 p.m. Admission is $20 per person, but kids 12 and under can attend for free. WDPHM News Time now is 6:12, and suspected serial stabber Elias Abu Azam has waived his extradition. He's going to be returned to Michigan now to face charges of killing at least one person. In a hearing held today in an Atlanta courtroom, Abu Azam made it clear that he does not want to fight the extradition, saying that it makes more sense to go now rather than wait. On Thursday, a Michigan judge signed an arrest warrant for him the day after he was arrested by Atlanta police as he was getting ready to board a flight to Israel. He's the suspected of stabbing 18 men in Michigan, Ohio, and Virginia. Five of those stabbings were fatal. The suspect's M.O. was reportedly to ask for directions or help with a broken-down car, then suddenly pull a knife and stab his victim. Most of those victims were African-American men. State lawmakers in Lansing continue to ponder over how to solve a nearly half-billion-dollar hole for the next year's state budget. Tim Skubick now reporting on some big philosophical differences between Governor Granholm and the majority leader in the Senate.
The Senate Republican leader again on a collision course with the governor over reducing the budget deficit. She wants to use federal dollars, $600 million, to get that job done. Mike Bishop does not want to use that. Instead, he wants more cuts.
We're going to have to figure out how to exist without that federal money, period. And so I want to put the cut list on the table. The next administration will come up with their own cut list. But the key is that we have to understand what that looks like. We have to understand how to we're going to have to reinvent state government to exist.
Bishop and the governor at odds over the budget. Nothing new there. Reporting from Lansing, I'm Tim Skubick, Michigan Radio Network.
Health officials in Kalamazoo County are reporting that two residents have contracted eastern equine encephalitis. That's a disease often seen in horses, but rarely in humans. It's also called EEE. It's a virus that's transferred to humans through infected mosquitoes. Most of the time, humans who are infected show no signs, and when there are symptoms, it can mean headaches, fever, and vomiting. But those people who are in poor physical condition can be impacted more severely and can even die. The Detroit News reports that one case involves an adult male who collapsed out of state. It was not immediately clear if he was still hospitalized. No information was available in the other case. Well, the Board of State Canvassers met in Lansing today. One of the items on the agenda was the extremely close Republican primary in the 1st Congressional District up in northern Michigan. Rob Bacon reports.
All 31 counties in Michigan's 1st Congressional District have certified their canvasses from the August 3rd primary, and as of now, Dan Benishek is the Republican nominee. Benishek leads Republican Jason Allen by 15 votes. There could still be a recount. The Board of State Canvassers meets today in Lansing to certify the primary results. Allen would then have 48 hours after that to ask for a recount. At the Capitol, I'm Rob Bacon for the Michigan Radio Network.
Well, Michigan's local communities are now increasingly feeling fiscal stress as they cope with less revenue. That's according to a recent poll from the University of Michigan. Michigan Public Policy Survey found that 78% of communities say that they were seeing decreasing property tax revenue. The Gong Renew Service reports that the poll also shows 56% of communities, populations of 1,500 people or less, were having trouble meeting their financial obligations, while 77% of communities with populations of 30,000 or more were also having trouble. Of the largest communities, 84% anticipated that they would have trouble the next fiscal year in meeting their financial obligations. 1,300 local officials across the state took part in that survey. Well, Michigan's iconic Mackinac Bridge was designated as a National Historic Civil Engineering Landmark yesterday. The ceremony at the Bridgeview Park in St. Ignace involved members of the American Society of Civil Engineers, Mackinac Bridge Authority, and the Michigan Department of Transportation. Mackinac Bridge, currently the third longest suspension bridge in the world, also the longest suspension bridge between anchorages in the Western Hemisphere. And finally now, Nickelodeon's Dora the Explorer's groundbreaking interactive style helped make it Basic Cable's most popular show for toddlers. And now, the show has reached a milestone. ABC's David Blaustein tells us about it.
Dora the Explorer turns 10 this weekend. To mark the occasion, Nickelodeon is airing Dora's big birthday celebration Sunday night. In the one-hour show, bilingual Dora and her sidekick Boots must wish their way out of Wizzle World in time to get back home for Dora's birthday party. But La Bruja, a witch voiced by Rosie Perez, isn't having it. In honor of Dora's 10th anniversary, more than 30 cities across the country have proclaimed Saturday Dora the Explorer Day. David Blaustein, ABC News.
And that's the latest from the Blue Water News Network. Right now, we've got mostly sunny skies, 83 degrees in downtown Port Huron. On a full look at the forecast when we come back on AM 1380 WPHM.
Here's what you missed on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I want to talk with you about the globalists. What made them so greedy? What made them so evil?